Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
Thank you so much. It is such a joy to be here. Have a seat. Let's just dig in. I am so grateful for leadership, the word-based leadership in this church. Aren't you? Isn't it incredible? In a world where you don't find that often, you've got Pastors Bernie and Nan giving you word-based teaching, and I'm just so grateful for that, and thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, a little bit about me. We had our crazy blessed meeting this past, yesterday. Wow, it was just yesterday. Oh, I don't think I've caught up. But it was a wonderful time together, and we just learned how God truly wants to bless us like crazy. And a little bit about me and my background is, I don't know if there's anyone who can identify with this, but I never really fit in anywhere. And even in the school system, I don't know what they do over here in Scotland, but when a teacher can't teach you, and when you just don't fit into the regular school system, and when they send notes home to say you can't pay attention, you daydream all the time, then you're put in special education. I was a special education kid. And my teachers had a horrible time trying to get me to pay attention in class. My attention span just was not there. So I really struggled with where do I fit in here? And even in high school, I mean, other kids are doing science projects and I'm having burping contests in the hallway. It's just, I just really never found my spot. Or maybe that was my spot, which is scary to think about. But I came across a message in 1 Peter 2:9, and I found out that we really don't have to fit in. We aren't called to be like the masses. We're called to rise up like our master. And I realized that we are called to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and this spoke to me, a peculiar people. That we would show forth the praises of him who's called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. See, we are called to be a little crazy. We're called to be a little peculiar. We're called not to fit in and be those kind of people where they're like, I don't understand how you operate. I don't understand how you can have joy when you really should be griping and sad right now. I don't understand how you can overcome this when really it should have taken you over. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand how all these amazing things can happen in your life. It shouldn't be happening like that. And in 2 Corinthians 5:13, it says, if it seems we're crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Yeah. We're supposed to be blessed like crazy. Amen. We are supposed to be those crazy people who bring glory to God because it's nothing we could ever do in our own power. That's right? The healing, the prosperity, the joy, the peace. It's nothing we can do. Has anyone ever tried to create peace in your own power? That does not work. Does not work. I tried meditation one time and I was thinking about my grocery list. You can't do that. But it's in the power of God that we are set apart, that we are this peculiar people, that we are blessed like crazy. Amen. And it was amazing when it's no surprise really because the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But when you were sharing about the story, about Jesus saying, go out to the water and let down your net. Just try it one more time. There's a formula there. There's this crazy blessed formula hidden there that I want to share with you today about how God works with us. And the first step is you have to think crazy. He works with your mindset first. You have to think crazy. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have to transform our thinking because who in here knows that God's covenant works totally opposite from the world? If you want to get, then you learn how to give. If you want to be exalted, then you learn how to be humble. It's totally inverted from the way this world is. It's God's covenant originally set in place, and the curse inverted it, so we have to try and toil and work. But that's not God's covenant. That's not his blessing. When we operate in his blessing, it's easy. It doesn't make sense. And the true labor is how to rest. But the first thing is we have to transform the way we are thinking. And that means we don't conform to the pattern of this world. It's when God calls us, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, he took you out of this kingdom of darkness and transferred you into this kingdom of light. It's a totally different kingdom, operates by completely different principles and different methods. And sometimes it's hard to learn that method. Kind of like when we landed here and picked up our car, driving on the, to us, the wrong side of the road. Terrifying. It was at least 4 hours until my blood pressure returned to normal after we parked the car. Shout out to you. Thank you so much for getting me and your children there safely. I appreciate it. We are alive, and I am grateful to God for that. But it's hard. It's hard to learn how things operate. I didn't even know how to turn on the light switch. And it could be the special education, but I'm just saying, it's difficult to adjust. And before that, we were in Iceland, and there is no adjusting there. You're just totally different. But it's hard when you are in a new kingdom, learning how to think the kingdom way, learning how to transform the way you are thinking. And Colossians 3:2 says to set your mind and keep it set. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we get some really good teaching, you get inspired, don't you? You get excited. You're like, I'm going to apply this. It's going to work for me. And then you go back to your circumstances, and sometimes it's kind of hard to hold on to that. It's hard to hold on to that way of thinking. And we start to think, well, how am I going to pay these bills? I don't know how to do this. So what am I going to do about my marriage? I don't know. It's falling apart. Or I don't know what to do about these kids. They're rebelling. And we start to think according to our circumstances instead of according to our covenant with God and his word. And there is so much power in the word. And when you can transform your thinking so that you don't even operate the way the world operates, you don't even think the way the world thinks. When something comes at you, you don't go to your resources, you go to God's word. Amen. Because your resources and your solutions and you fixing things, how many people know it doesn't always work? Yeah. It does not always work. I remember one time, have you ever seen those pore strips? The ladies, not the guys. If the guys knew about that, I'd be a little concerned. But the women, do you know the pore strips where you can like clean out your pores? And well, I always, you know about, okay, we'll talk later. So, but I looked at the, I was thinking, I might want to get some of those. I looked at the prices. I was like, no, I don't want to buy that. I'll use duct tape. Could be the special education. I'm just saying. I cut a strip of duct tape and put it across my nose, thinking, why doesn't everyone think of this? I have solved the world's problems with duct tape. And then it came time to rip it off. I was going to look really good. That was the day before Thanksgiving in America, and so we were going to go see his family. I had to explain why I had a red rectangle on my nose. It was so bad. No makeup can cover that up. No makeup. Like, I don't care what tutorials you see on Facebook. No, nothing helped with that. Big, flaming rectangle red. So your solutions, and sometimes you think, yes, this is going to be great. Oh, a bill comes in. Let me see. How can I get a loan for this? Or what? We automatically go to our solutions. No. Transform your thinking. Transform your thinking. Go to God's word. Don't even think the way the world thinks. You've got to think crazy. You got to be a little crazy. Number two, you got to talk crazy. you gotta talk crazy. There was at a church we went to years and years ago. I remember walking in one day, and you know how it is before church. You talk with your friends, you socialize and catch up. And this woman was talking. She said, oh, this terrible flu is going around. Be careful. You might catch it. Everyone's getting the flu. I said, oh, it can't get on me. Mm-mm. She's like, who do you think you are? I was like, I'm a child of God. It can't get on me. And she went, shh. I was like, what? Am I talking too loud? She's like, don't say that. You're going to get the flu. You got to learn how to think different. She was afraid of tempting fate, or in other words, letting the devil into her life. She was scared of Satan. But you know what? Satan's more scared of you than you even can realize. And he tries to make you scared of him by putting a cold on you. We need to get more concerned with putting our Jesus on people than whether we're going to get their sickness on us. Because we got to change the way we think. And that happens, we change the way we talk. We don't even think the same. We don't even talk the same. In America, we have the saying, come at me, bro. It's like, you messing with me? Come at me, bro. Mm-mm. Don't let the enemy feed you lies and you receive them. We don't need to tiptoe around the enemy. We don't need to tiptoe around Satan in fear. We need to, it says in God's word, we need to storm the gates of hell. We should be the offense. We don't need to be playing defense. We need to be offensive. We need to be striking the gates of hell and pulling people back out of the hell they're living in. That needs to be our job. We need to be bolder. We need to think bolder and talk bolder. And it freaks people out. It does. It freaks people out because we need to be opening up our mouth and speaking the promise, not the problem. How often do we speak the problem? Because really, where your words go, you have creative power. Yeah. That's how God created. He just spoke. Yeah. The Spirit of God was hovering. Nothing was happening until God spoke. And we are imitators of Him. Yeah. We create our lives by our words. And when we start talking crazy, things happen in our lives. Yeah. Crazy things happen. Good things happen. Says life and death are in the power of the what? That's right. You have a powerful weapon there. And we need to learn how to talk crazy, how to wage war with our words. Don't succumb to the way the world operates or the way the world talks. Have you ever just sat back and listened to the foolishness that people talk about? We always are concerned with problems and circumstances and coming up with our solutions. No, we need to start speaking the word and putting it to work in our lives. It doesn't say that when we're faced with a mountain that we push against it. We speak to that mountain. We say, move, get out of my way. We don't push. We don't get out a chisel. We don't fight against it. We don't sit down and complain about it. We just speak to that mountain and we say, get out of my way. Go get cast into the sea. I'm coming through. Yeah. We aren't called to move mountains. We're called to dissolve them with our words. And that happens when you start talking crazy. Yeah. It's crazy talk. And people will think you're crazy. Let me just tell you right now, when you start living this way, people will think you're crazy. Yeah. But we're in a good crowd. Yeah. Because guess what? They think you're crazy. And they don't understand what you're doing, but then they come to you later and they say, what are you doing? I see what's happening in your life. Can you share it with me? Because they know that you operate differently than the world. So something's got to be different. And they'll want to know what it is. God raises us up to be a standard. We aren't supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be peculiar. We think crazy. We talk crazy. And isn't it amazing? And David, in the story about David and Goliath, we all know that story. The Philistines taunted the Israelites for days, days and days and days. So all the soldiers were hearing is are words that cast down on them, that belittled them, that taunted them. They were listening to the lies of the enemy. This is what happens to us sometimes. If we listen too long about why we're not good enough and why we can't do things and why we are so inept at performance and why we have no skills and why there's no solutions for our life. The enemy will give us lies constantly, and if we sit and listen to them, we will become small and powerless. When David was there, he didn't give those lies time to get into his thinking. He immediately heard the lies. He recognized the lies. He says, who's this guy who thinks he's going to kill us? No, let me at him. Let me go. I don't need your armor. I don't need your weapons. Let me get after him. And he said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He was talking to a giant. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. He didn't even have a sword. How's he going to cut off his head if he doesn't even have a sword? Have you thought about that? Goliath was the one with the sword. He said, I'm going to strike you down and I will use everything you came at me with to defeat you. The Bible says that our enemies will be our footstools. That means when something comes at you and you don't understand why you're suffering this way, why you can't pay this bill, why you're having this relationship problem, understand that, you know what, this isn't going to overtake me. I'm going to use this to overtake it. And it will become my footstool, and I will be elevated in the kingdom of God. And people will say, how did you do that? And I can glorify God. Yeah. Isn't it amazing what he wants to do in your life? He said, I will cut off your head. And we all know what happened. Yes, he did. He took his sword and cut off his head. We are so powerful. And the real problem is we don't understand how powerful we really are in the kingdom of God. Yeah. We've been listening to lies for too long. They've gotten into our thinking. And we need to rise up in our power, start thinking differently, start talking differently. And we need to start acting crazy. Yeah. Faith without works is dead. Your works is just a natural expression of your faith. It becomes the way you live. It's not being good enough, or, I mean, we would all fail that. It's not performing well enough. I definitely couldn't do that. It's on living out your faith, doing those crazy things. I can't tell you how many times Blair and I would be at a financially difficult place. We're like, I don't know how to pay this bill. I don't know how to pay this bill. First thing we go to is, let's give more. It doesn't make sense, does it? Like, if I can't pay a bill, why would I sow money into the kingdom? It doesn't make sense. But that's that acting crazy. And every single time, God's word is faithful. It's reciprocity. Just like Pastor spoke about, it is a law. And when you can start operating by the laws of the kingdom instead of the laws of the natural world, you have been lifted up to a supernatural place. Amen. Where you take those laws and you apply them to the way you're living. Amen. I remember one time when my father's a pastor as well, and I spoke at his church. I was sharing with Pastor Nan on the way over. My father's very strict on how they run their services. He said, Hannah, I'll give you 20 minutes. I said, Dad, I'll do you 45. He said, it's kind of like one of those American Westerns, you know, we're ready for a shoot down. He said, okay, 25. I said, 30. He said, nope, I got to stick to 25. I went 30. It's okay. He still loves me. I hope. That's what he says. I believe him. But we were there visiting my family, and the night before church, my daughter Kenna lost her phone. She couldn't find it anywhere. And oh, it's horrible. Anyone have kids with phones? They would rather lose an arm than lose their phone. Am I right? So she had just got it for her birthday. Like, what was it, a month before? She had just got her phone. And she lost it at her grandparents' house. She couldn't find it anywhere. She was immediately anxious about it, right? That's sometimes how we get. Immediately when something happens in our life, we start getting anxious about it. And so we started going all over the house. We turned every cushion upside down. We turned that house upside down. Every bedroom, every sofa cushion, went on the ground, everything. We could not find the phone. We went home to the hotel, and I said, Kenna, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm talking about rest, about how to rest in God's finished work. So maybe we just need to rest on this. And I believe that God is going to just show you. And so right now, instead of stressing about it, let's just rest and let's start thanking God that he's going to show you where that is. How many people know that God cares just as much about the little things as he does about the big things? Sometimes we think we can't go to God with our little things. If it concerns us, it concerns him. Yeah. Done deal. And so she said, okay, thank you. I'm going to have my phone. I have my phone right now. Thank you, Lord. As she was praising God in the hotel room. We went to sleep. And the next morning, we're on our way over to the house. And she was sitting there. She's like, Mom, I believe God just gave me a vision of Grandpa's chair. And I think my phone might be in there. I was like, okay, well, let's go look. So he parked the car. Immediately, she ran out and went and looked at all the cracks in his chair and everything and reached her hand in. We had taken those cushions off. Reached her hand in, pulled out her phone. She said, Mom, it was in Grandpa's crack. I said, you better wash it. But it's true. It's true. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. He wants to do such crazy things in our lives. And he wants to bless us in every way possible. He wants to show up and do the exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you can think or hope or imagine. But you gotta be bold enough to act in it. That's a hard thing to do. Anyone know that's a hard thing to do, to really put your faith to the test? To give when you don't understand how you're gonna get. To be bold enough to assume a responsibility when you know you don't have the ability to handle that responsibility. You just step in, you say, I believe that God is going to meet me right here at this level. Because I have the faith to believe him, and I have his word as his covenant. His word is his will. Yeah. We can know the will of God. Yeah. If anyone says, well, you never know what God's going to do, you just don't know his will. Yes, we do. We have his word, and we can know his will. And his will is good, pleasing, and profitable for us in every way. We can start changing the way we act because we are at rest. That's our only real labor. It's a hard labor. Any woman who has given birth to children, I gave birth to 7, know that labor is hard, but there's a promise. And when you know that there's a promise, you can labor in that. The labor doesn't become easy, but it becomes doable. You can do this. You can act in faith because you know God's promise is true and it stands. You can do those things out of faith that you would never do in natural circumstances. It doesn't make sense. To go speak to someone and share a word that you don't know if they're going to receive it or not, but you know that God wants you to, and he's told you to. And you know to honor someone or to stop the words that you want to say so badly in the flesh. But yet you honor other people. It's hard to do, but we labor to enter into that rest. That rest where we know it's a done deal. God's got this. We need to act crazy. You know, it's funny because when that woman at church told me to shh, don't tempt the devil. He'll put sickness on you. The only reason she said that is because she didn't know the promise of God. She didn't know. We can't fault people for not knowing. That becomes that thinking crazy. We've got to get into the Word and understand. Or we would know that according to Galatians 3:13, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. According to Deuteronomy 7:15, the Lord will put no disease on us. According to Exodus 23:25, He'll protect you from illness. But if we don't know the covenant, we can't exercise the covenant. We can't profit from the covenant. It's kind of like when we have a will, when someone has given us a will and we've been written into it, we won't receive it if we don't even know what's in there. We've got to read the will in order to receive the inheritance. And we can know God's will is His word. And we need to read the will so we can receive the inheritance. Amen. And just like Pastor Bernie shared, we have a beautiful example of this in Luke 5. A beautiful example of how, even though it defies logic, we are obedient. When Jesus got there, He started sharing with the people and talking to the people. And He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. That was Simon Peter. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So first, you have to know God's word. They were listening to the word right there coming out of Jesus. In order to change your thinking, in order to think crazy, you've got to know the word. And He made sure Peter knew the word before He ever asked him to live in it and to act it out. So he knew the word because he had heard Jesus preaching right there. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, imagine you're a professional and you know your job. Anyone here like an electrician? No one. Anyone in here? Okay, imagine an electrician. They know everything about it. And I go to them and I say, you know what? I want you to cross these wires, plug that into that. They would look at me and say, leave. You have no idea what you're talking about. I know this. This is my job. Here's Jesus telling him how to fish. It didn't make sense. He was a professional fisherman. That's what he did for a living. And sometimes we get so used to doing things out of routine in our own way that when Jesus comes in, He says, okay, I want you to do this now. We're like, wait. That doesn't make sense. But because you said it, according to your word, at your word, I'll do this. I will do this. He had to speak crazy. And you know, those other fishermen were like, Peter, you're crazy. I wouldn't do it. He doesn't know anything about fishing. But Peter had heard enough. He knew something was different about this man. He said, at your word, I will do it. He spoke crazy. Everyone around him probably thought he was crazy. And then they thought he was even crazier when he actually followed it with action. Sometimes we will talk a good game, but we won't follow through. I'm going to be a giver. But when it's actually time to write the check, you know what? I'm going to love and honor my husband, but I've told him 3 times to go mow the lawn. Women are like, they're nudging. But then he followed it with actions. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. He acted crazy. What is that? Net breaking, boat sinking increase, right? If you want that net breaking, boat sinking increase, you got to learn how to think crazy. You got to put your words to work and you got to start talking crazy. Amen. And then you got to act crazy. You just have to follow through. Be bold enough. Bridge Church is going to be known. Those are crazy people in there, man. And they're multiplying. Amen. They're all over Scotland now. Bunch of crazy people going out and changing the world, right? That's what we're called to do. It's not just for your life. It's for a world that needs God to show up in your life. Be bold enough to step into that role where you're not following the masses, you're following the master. Amen. People are going to see something different in you. They're going to see something different in this church. And guess what? They're going to be drawn to it. Amen. We need that today. We need that today. You do this, you're going to be blessed like crazy. Amen. Thank you so much. God, I want to ask you right now, can I pray over you? Yes. Can I pray over you? Bow your head. If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to meet you right there, because this crazy life is one decision away. And it's accepting Jesus as your Savior, saying, I'm not going to do things my way anymore. I give my heart to you, Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to take your word. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, would you just raise your hand and let me pray over you right now? Let me pray over you right now. I want everyone to join. It's so simple. Just repeat after me. Father God, I want to trust you with my life. Jesus, I make you my Lord. I believed you died for me. And I take your word. Now take my life and do something amazing with it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Right now, I just want to pray over everyone. Father God, thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for what drew them here today. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break all bondage right now. All bondage over spirit, all bondage over finances right now. Health, come into line right now. Total healing right now, in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, we're healed. We proclaim healing. I decree it in Jesus' name. Healing, financial healing and family healing. Children returning to the covenant of God in the name of Jesus. There is family unity right now. We decree it and we declare it right now that there is unity in marriages, unity in family, unity in this church, Father God. Thank you for that. Thank you that we are going to go out. This church will be known with signs and wonders, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that your presence is here and everything that comes with your presence, the restoration, the healing, the wholeness, the provision. We decree it, we declare it in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you, and you are just a joy. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.